And we believe that if AGI is ever created, AGIs will have that ability to suffer as well.
I'm not familiar with what an AGI is. Let me just Google it real quick.
Artificial general intelligence. So it's like the idea of creating programming actual intelligence. Okay. Not just like a really smart chess player, but general intelligence.
Okay, so this is kind of, it sounds like an evolution thing. Like we evolved to experience these sorts of things and other species didn't.
I don't think it's a matter of evolution. Like, it's not like a, we evolved because, and I don't think the argument comes from evolution itself. It's just, I think it's just our ability to generate explanatory knowledge.
Okay. And so like, what is it? Like what physical characteristics do we have? Like maybe certain parts of the brain or something that other species don't have that allows us to experience this? Like, can it be explained in that way? Or
no, I don't think it's a matter of the brain itself.
Not necessarily the brain, but like just kind of anything that can be observed and is tangible.
Yeah, I think that's what's difficult about it, because I don't think it's something that can be observed. Like, we can't say if the brain looks this way, then we have explanatory knowledge. I think it's a matter of, I think the term they use in computation is like substrate independence, meaning you, it doesn't matter how the hardware looks like. What matters is the software. So our minds is what matters, not really the brain.
Okay. Well, because like the way I'm thinking about it, it's like surely there must be some sort of physical difference between like our brain and a cow's brain that allows for this like difference in the way that they operate and allow us to perceive the world. But maybe I'm just thinking about it in a wrong way.
Sorry, repeat that. I didn't quite catch it.
Because like you're saying that it's about the software, not necessarily the hardware. But right. But I'm thinking like, well, there has to be some sort of difference in the hardware in order for there to be a difference in the software, because like, God, I don't even know how to explain it. Why did I come here? I'm like so tired. I can't even think.
It's all right. And it took me a while to get it to, like, because I don't, the reason why, well, so this is where like I fall short, because I think this has to do with like the laws of computation. It's really not a matter of how the hardware looks like, so it really shouldn't be about the brain. Like, we're universal computers, but that ability should be, and you should be able to program it if we ever figure it out, if we ever understand it. We should be able to do it not on a brain, but like on a robot, for example, if we ever figure it out.
Yeah. So what kind of evidence is there to support this idea that like consciousness and such is a human exclusive experience?
Well, I don't know about evidence. I don't know if you consider this evidence, but like we actually demonstrate explanatory knowledge, so we can explain things. We don't behave based on our DNA, like we change. For example, we have like an inborn fear of heights, but we jump out of planes for fun, kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay, so is it kind of just like behavioral then?
Yeah, I don't know. That's where I think I talked to Avi. Is that how you say it? Avi?
Avi.
Talked to Avi, and I think I mentioned it might have been a behavioral thing, but that's probably not right.
Yeah.
Well, animals display behavior that we can program. Everything that they do, we can program, but we can't program our intelligence yet. So I guess it's sort of behavioral in that sense.
So like, you say that you've been talking to vegans a lot, so I'm sure that someone's brought this up, but just to humor me, like I'm sure you could find a human that those sorts of behaviors don't apply to. So in that case, would you say that the human is still capable of suffering and pain and sentience and so on?
Yeah, this is something Avi brought up. The idea of, okay, so what if there was a the way he put it was something like, imagine a human being that lost the ability to generate explanatory knowledge. And would I still stab him in the throat or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
That's what he was saying. Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Well, this is the issue I have with that argument, is I don't think it's possible, because he said, and this person will also be able to have every other human aspect, like ability to feel joy and all that. I think that comes in a package. Like, it's all creativity, explanatory knowledge, it all comes together. So mm-hmm. I don't think it's physically possible. But he's talking about logically, like, it's, we can ignore physical possibility and only talk about logical possibility. So we came to the conclusion that explanatory knowledge is like sufficient, but not, I mean, it's necessary, but not sufficient. I don't think it's possible for a human to lose explanatory knowledge, but also still be a human, or a person rather.
Okay, where did the server go? There it is. Okay, so if they were to lose like all the relevant characteristics, then you'd say that they probably wouldn't even be human anymore.
You could say they would be human, but they wouldn't be a person as defined, as I said, as an entity that can generate explanatory knowledge that has universality. Mm-hmm. They could still be, I guess, a human being, but not a person anymore.
Okay. And is there a particular list or something you guys have where you like identify the characteristics that you believe humans possess but other non-humans don't, like, you know, sentience, consciousness, etc.?
I'm sure that's in his website.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I clicked on the first link and it was just so long. I'm like, I don't.
Yeah, it's a ton. he writes a lot, and we've been going through like every single subreddit we could find and communities, and just kind of asking for literature or arguments. Some have been okay. Most have been pretty mean.
Yeah, I mean, like, you go up to vegans and you're like, animals don't feel pain. Like, I can't imagine you probably get.
I guess that makes sense. It would be hostile response. Yeah.
Okay. So then, how would you explain things like when cows look like they're fighting for their lives or resisting slaughter, and like when pigs are being gassed to death, like when they scream out and you know, things like that, like.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. It's kind of horrific to see, but the way it explained is, it's simply an algorithm. Like, in order for these, essentially for our DNA to replicate, like they're really, what replicates is the DNA. There needs to be some strategies to survive, to replicate, for the genes to pass on. That includes running away from things that kill you. You know, reacting mm-hmm. to stimuli that would probably kill you.
Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, humans have that as well. Like, if we perceive danger, we run from it, or we fight for our lives. And if we are in pain, then we react in a way where maybe we cry out or something like that. And then from those behaviors, we can usually infer that what the human is experiencing is a negative mental state, or a state that they would prefer not to be in. So. Is the reason why we can't grant that same sort of principle to non-humans because you feel that humans have like the other characteristics,
Well, so I will go back to the idea that in order for us to have the ability to suffer, we'd have to explain our current situation. We have to make a value judgment. So, for example, if I feel you know, pain in my chest, and I realize, oh shit, I'm having a heart attack, and now I'm suffering. And I go to the doctor, and he tells me, oh, you just have heartburn. Then I'm not suffering anymore. The pain's still the same. The stimulus is still the same, but I'm not suffering anymore because I have an explanation of what the situation that I'm in.
Mm-hmm. Are you saying that's like for you specifically?
That's for like human beings or people specifically.
Oh, well, couldn't you say that just like the sensation of being in pain is like enough to suffer because you would prefer to not experience that?
Like just the stimulus? Like just the stimulus is enough to suffer?
Yeah.
I think, I mean, I don't know how the stimulus will be. Like, we don't know because we don't understand. We haven't solved qualia yet. Yeah, you can talk, Justin.
Okay.
So I'm getting off. I still have a cold, so I'm kind of strong with that. But we haven't solved qualia, so this is really, it's hard to know if animals can actually experience pain the same way that we can. But I don't think that they can suffer. So, because like I mentioned, you would need knowledge in order to explain suffering.
Yeah, I think maybe there's just a disagreement on what we think of suffering to be, because to me it's just like if you're experiencing something that you would rather not experience to a certain degree, then that would be enough to constitute suffering. Sorry, what, Justin?
I was just going to say the interpretation of something as suffering, like it's for a human being, it's an interpretation. And in fact, people can interpret things that are painful as pleasure. People, when exercising, they feel the burn or whatever, and they enjoy it. Or, you know, there's people who are into BDSM or something like that. So it's not necessarily like, it is the case that if you do not want something according to your values, then in many cases, you know, that's something that you're going to experience as suffering. But it's not necessarily the case that the mere pain sensation causes a suffering. And I think there's counterexamples that illustrate that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there are certain cases where someone might find pain pleasurable, but I don't think from what we've seen from, you know, like pigs and cows and such that we can say that about them. And I also wouldn't attribute suffering to something moral based or value based. I would attribute it to just whether or not that individual would prefer to be in that state or not, if that makes sense.
I guess the issue is like, because I think a lot of people, and like I don't have a clear picture of your view because I just jumped on here, but a lot of people on the vegan animal rights sort of perspective, they try and root a moral argument against, you know, slaughtering animals or whatever on the basis of a capacity to suffer. And then they try and root that capacity to suffer in a capacity to experience physical pain sensations. And I guess where the Eliot perspective, which I think I broadly agree with, differs from that, he wouldn't dispute that there's some sort of electrical pain signal, but that there is, he would say that as a prerequisite for interpreting that experience or any experience as suffering, you need to have essentially a mind, a thinking entity, and that's really the core issue that the whole moral value thing flows from. And that's sort of the higher level issue that determines, you know, what we put in the category of, you know, human, where you can't just arbitrarily, you know, mess with them and harm them, or what you treat as a rock or a Roomba. Hello?
Mm-hmm. Hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to go now, but I appreciate you guys coming in here and talking, because I think your view is actually really interesting, and I'd be interested in, you know, hearing you guys debate and stuff. But Hopefully I can talk to you guys later.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, see ya.
See ya.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
And is the rat on here?
I'm here. Think so. Oh, hey, there he is.
I just heard him.
Yeah, what's up?
What's up? You can continue. What you were saying.
Luke, you want me to, like, what we were saying on voice just now?
I heard for the most part what you had to say. And, I don't know, it's kind of weird talking on voice chat, like, with people, but I think the argument isn't.
It's fine, by the way.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, we just jumped on here because, Rat jumped on here because Nicole wanted to voice chat, and I jumped on here because I when I hear a discussion and I want to make a point, I just basically can't help myself. So,
but the vegan argument, I think, isn't just about pain, though, right? It is no, that the animals one, acknowledge
that. That's one argument. That's
because
one.
I think because even I don't think
everyone.
And I don't think that the pain argument is a very good one, because I do see that there is a loophole to it where they say, like, oh, shoot the animal in the head or something before the signal comes in, and mm-hmm. you know, the animal doesn't feel pain, so problem solved. But I think the strongest argument is that the animals acknowledge that they exist. And you are taking that away from them. And, like, that's as short as I can make the argument.
What do you mean?
So what do you have to say about that?
Elaborate.
What do you mean by that?
They're self-aware, basically, right? They are self-aware.
So I think that's sort of...
Self-aware. And with
curious, assuming something that would be in contention as part of the argument, like... Because I guess part of our position is that animals don't have minds, and so they would lack the capacity for a meaningful, you know, self-awareness. They might have some, I don't know, they could have some algorithm that makes them react a certain way if they see a reflection in water or something, but that's different than, like, contemplating yourself and that sort of thing. So, but if you want to elaborate, because I'm not sure I quite.
I mean, anyway, that is why I probably should not or would not carry on this conversation for too long, because I have to read everything that Curie has to say about it.
Well, maybe it's okay.
Because I think.
If it's okay, I could jump. Whenever you want to step out.
That because if you the problem, you know what evidence for it,
for example, a lot of people use,
yes, I know, as a test,
right?
Yes,
so some fish can do that and some ants can do that, but so can the camera on my phone.
I mean, I'm sure you could have an Ibo or whatever dog robot do that. That would be pretty trivial
right now.
Like that's a big thing. It's like, if you can, like, people say, oh, the animals scream or whatever, but, like, I mean, the little Sims and the Sims can scream if you walk in the room.
Can I levy a question here? So what are the intelligent behaviors that separate the mentally handicapped humans that we place moral consideration on from the animals? What's our epistemic standard for making a judgment that these mentally handicapped humans, what behaviors do they exhibit that distinguish them epistemically from animals when we talk about their minds versus the animals' minds?
I mean, one thing is mentally handicapped is a pretty...
Yeah, it's nebulous.
There's plenty of literally, like, people who would be classified severely retarded who have jobs and who you can have a conversation with. So, like, Like,
and there's plenty that I'm specifically talking about the people. Yeah, no, I'm talking about the there's plenty of severely mentally handicapped people who cannot have jobs. And right. I mean, have you looked at the example? Like, the typical example I'm talking to is Brie. Have you heard of Brie? I don't know if anyone can link the Brie. I'm sure it's Raising Brie or something, but like, that's the type of level of mentally handicapped I'm talking about. And yet people don't really want to have an epistemic standard that says that, even though it seems like the behaviors, yeah, there we go. So it's linked in general.
Okay.
That's the degree of mentally handicapped I'm talking about when I say mentally handicapped. So you can play.
I mean, one thing is, like, we know humans as a category, can do all sorts of stuff. And so you want to err on the side of really, really cautious before you like dehumanize the clear, the category where the general case is, you know, a person. Like, there, you could have somebody who's just like a completely brain dead vegetable or something, and I would say, well, okay, that, like, you know, their brain is so damaged.
Well, that's
that they
not
can,
that's not the then, question. The question is, well, I understand that, but the question
I'm just setting like the extreme, like
no,
where's
it,
the bottom?
I get it, but the question is not about the question is about our epistemic standard. Now, if you want to tie the species into the epistemic standard, sure, you can try to do that. That'll have problems of its own, though. So.
But I'm I think it's an easier, like to give a broad bubble around humans. You know, you may be over inclusive, but you're not including like gophers. You know, so that's a clear, easy line.
Just the question is, okay. So here's the question at the end of the day: what is the when we're met with the creature, and it doesn't have to be an exact epistemic standard, but what's the epistemic standard for determining what has a mind from what does not have a mind? Is it behavior? Is it, what is it and why?
Are they able to engage in like open-ended creation of knowledge, I guess would be the standard.
So like would you say this, if you look at this video, Raising Brie, would you say when you look at the behaviors exhibited by individual or this
talking about the species as a whole, and then within that I'm back to my, because we're not judging like whatever, like I haven't watched the Brie vid, but like she's a member of the human race, right?
What does that have to do, the why is that just like, so she's a member of the human race, but what does that have to do with,
so then we don't want to like there have been historical issues with defining the human bubble a little narrowly, and
no,
so
I just don't understand. I just don't understand why that gives us more reason when we're met with a creature that happens to fit within the category of the human race. Why does that give us epistemic standard, especially when the behavior seems identical? Like, let's say we have a human who behaves exactly like a cow, like exhibits all the behaviors of a cow. I wouldn't see why the fact that the human is a human is relevant for our epistemic standard of determining a mind.
You would need to explain that.
Because at one point, I don't know whether I should be making this or not, but at one point I have steel-manned this argument, because after thinking about it for a while, it's comparisons. Why don't we eat retarded people? Argument.
Well, that's the thing. Like,
Yeah, I'm going to give you the answer. I'm going to give you the answer, because it really falls back to the same reason that it would be considered immoral for me to crash into a person's house. The fact that a retarded person, when we meet a retarded person or any person that would qualify in the same category as animals, we still acknowledge that they are an offspring of some human that we hold some moral consideration to. To make this as simple as I can, if there was only me and a retarded person in the world, like we're the only ones that existed, then truly, I think that it wouldn't matter between a cow or a retarded person. I would have treated them, I probably wouldn't treat them the same. But the people making that argument seem to be that if that truly was the case where, you know, this acknowledgement that retarded people aren't offsprings of people that we hold dear, they wouldn't be making that argument. So I think that that is where the argument falls back on.
I don't think you want to go with something being an offspring of something and now it has moral value because so it's, do viruses.
That's exactly where you guys are arguing, where the argument is going to.
No.
That's exactly where it's going to.
We don't talk and about what offspring at all.
Okay.
Well, look, here's the question. Look, the question is, if you have a human who exhibits all the behaviors of a cow and you're met with that creature, okay, by what epistemic standard are you going to separate the mind of that, say that you have reason to believe that this human has a mind while this cow does not have a mind?
I think that one needs to explain what is happening in that situation, because that is a very strange situation. And I recognize it's a hypothetical, but I'm gonna bite down on the hypothetical and say, okay, we have a human acting like a cow. What's going on? Do we have a very silly human who's putting up a pretense? Is it has a cow been transformed into a human by wizards?
No,
like you need to know what's going on.
No, what he's saying is, Do you acknowledge that there are humans? There are humans that would be whatever you consider a cow. Whatever you consider a cow. There are humans There are humans that are exactly like a cow, except for the fact that they are humans.
I don't.
Or otherwise. But they are a cow. In all regards, except for the fact that they are humans, why do you give those moral consideration? That's the question. Are they a silly human? Are they a dumb human? That's not the point.
That's almost violating non-contradiction. Almost, it's saying, well, it's a human, but it's not.
Wait. Derive the contradiction.
I'll let you bring it up, Avi, because I think maybe Levy didn't relate the your wait, point very well.
Wait.
So.
What's the contradiction?
Well, the way Levy put it, it sounded almost sure.
Is it okay if Avi explains it again? Because I don't think both are making the same argument.
The question on the table is.
Go ahead, Avi.
You see what we observe? Like we're all on the same page that we observe different creatures, and we observe different creatures exhibiting different behaviors. Now, with respect to the problem of other minds, there's a spectrum of skepticism between panpsychism and solipsism. Is everyone on the same page about that? You can't prove that I'm conscious. I can't prove that you're conscious. You may be able to have, there's some arguments that you might be able to make that you yourself are conscious. You could prove it to yourself. Even that is in question, but you might be able to make that case, but you can't make the case that any other human is conscious. You can't demonstrate that. Yeah, it is. There's no actual refutation of solipsism.
Okay,
but
I reject solipsism.
I do too.
Reality.
I reject solipsism as well. I'd like to see the refutation. If you think there's a refutation, we can go into that. But
it looks like
Frizz
is pulling it up in real time.
Yeah.
So
yeah. All right. That's fine. We can go. This is a tangent. But
that's fine.
There's time available. Yeah. As of now, I'm not convinced there's a refutation of solipsism, but I'm willing to look at it and see if there is.
Understood.
Even if there is a refutation of solipsism, it doesn't entail that you'd be able to demonstrate that all other humans, even the ones that can have conversations with you, have minds. So,
well, you need to explain if an entity.
Well, that's where the idea of the universality computation comes from. So, if one of us can do it, all of us can do it.
Wait, how does that? Wait, does if one of us can do it, all of us can do it?
Yeah, if we're able to.
Well, you're using the word can, but that doesn't mean that it is. Like, sure, you may say that a human can be conscious, that doesn't mean that they are conscious. You can say that I can, just if I can be conscious, then Avi can be conscious. That doesn't mean Avi actually is conscious.
Well, but the thing is, if you want to pose the Avi is not conscious theory, then you have to explain why he seems able to maintain different, you know, to be able to have a lengthy voice chat conversation in which he argues various intellectual points in a way that seems, you know, like from my perspective, if I was going with the no Avi theory, like, well, here's this person, he's arguing these points. I don't quite know what he's going to say. His perspective seems different than mine. So then is the Avi perspective somehow just a shadow of my own consciousness that I don't fully understand or something? Like you have to be able to explain that somehow. I think
I actually think it seems to be that all state of affairs are actually compatible with both hypotheses equally. And even though it seems counterintuitive, right. But I actually am not, it seems very counterintuitive that all states, all of these facts that you would observe, the nature of how I'm speaking, the arguments I'm levying toward you.
Yeah,
I think all of that is equally compatible with solipsism as it is with non-solipsism.
Yeah, I think that's the point that Curry was making, or Eliot was making earlier about there are, as you're saying, like it's compatible, the data is compatible with multiple interpretations, but what really differentiates one from the other is a good explanation.
So, but what makes a good that's a whole other kind of
worm. So whenever you talk about, like Justin was saying, there's a non-conscious Avi that acts like a conscious Avi. So now you have to explain. Basically, you've already done it.
When you say there's a non-conscious Avi who acts like a conscious Avi, the solipsist would just say the opposite to you. You say no. This is, if there was a, they would say the opposite way around. No, if we found a conscious Avi, I would just say he's acting like a non-conscious Avi. This is the way non-conscious Avis operate. You've already assumed your conclusion. No, the solipsist would just say you've already assumed your conclusion when you're saying they're acting like this. The solipsist would say there is no like that. They would just reject what you're comparing it to.
I understand that. I'm just saying that would be a bad explanation.
How would it be a bad explanation? The solipsist would just say the best explanation.
In order for us to explain solipsism, we'll have to explain everything around us, the world, and solipsism, instead of just explain the world around us.
If they reject that things have an identity, then how can they assert that they don't have an identity? Like it just decoheres into nonsense instantaneously.
By the way, I agree. It's a position I don't want to take. I'm not seeing how strictly on the level of logic it's any more. I mean, I agree it's nonsensical, but I don't see how I can make that case.
So if you're saying, like, they're claiming that a non-conscious Avi has certain attributes, and then they're denying those attributes to a conscious Avi, their interpretation, their definition, like they would need to have some argument for it.
They would say the same for the argument for the contrary. They would say, they could just have that position and say, well, what's your argument that the state of affairs is a better explanation or more compatible with a conscious Avi rather than a
non-conscious? It seems like there's an autonomous entity who's doing thinking that I'm not privy to.
Are you a phenomenal conservative? Is this phenomenological conservatism, or is the seeming providing a non-inferential justification?
I mean, I think that lots of like you sort of the way I look at it is you start with a guess as to the nature.
If you don't understand any of the words I'm saying, just don't like go off on something. Just say, can you explain what that means? Like, do you know what, like, because you said what you just said was, It seems like this is compatible with consciousness, something along those lines. The seeming, like there is a view in philosophy where the seeming is a form of a non-inferential justification. It's a form of justification.
Well, I'm not arguing a justificationist type position.
So what is the relevance? What is the relevance of the seeming?
So the relevance of the seeming is that it's a starting point for trying to figure out, like
does
you say, well,
the likelihood
that
seems, your proposition
no.
is true. Okay.
No.
So then,
not
what's
at all.
The, I don't understand. Yeah. So what? I don't
guess,
understand if it doesn't.
Guesses and criticism, essentially. You have a guess. You criticize it. You formulate another guess that stands up to the first criticism. You criticize that until, you know, you're happy with, you know, until you've dealt with all the criticisms, you're happy with the state of your guess, you've solved your problem.
Then why can't the solipsist just say that they're making a guess too, and then they're happy with their guess?
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole point that CR talks about, like, the idea you don't have to constantly justify everything. Because you will always have to justify and justify, and then infinite regress
anyway,
justify
is,
that.
We're getting off on the solipsist tangent, but like
the key here is,
but I don't understand. Yeah, I'd like to get back to the topic, but the topic is like here's what I don't get, and I'm not convinced this has been levied. I'm not convinced this has really been made clear at all. When if we were met with a human whose behavior is indistinguishable from that of an animal, what is our epistemic standard for concluding or giving us good reason to the degree that which we wouldn't levy a precautionary principle on one creature but another, not just like one little bit over another, but to the degree
I guess I reject the premise.
Why do you mean you reject the premise?
Specifically, the thing about a human who's indistinguishable from an animal, I don't think that's
not
indistinguishable.
No, that's not what that wasn't the hypothetical. The human is distinguishable in some aspects, but not other aspects. So they're distinguishable in the sense that they're a human. They're just not distinguishable in the sense that they are human, that they are not non-human animal. There's no violation of the law of identity.
Right. No, so you're basically talking about something that's a human shape, but an animal like mind or animal behavior or whatever.
If you were to look at the brain, it has all the morphology of a human brain. If you were to look at the genes, it has the genetics of a human. If you were to just, it's just that there's some sort of defect in this human's mind, in this human's brain, that their behavior can't be seen, none of their behaviors observed seem more intelligent or more intelligent than that of a cow. And there
should
are many,
I, should I know, watch the Brie video and
you
and
yeah get, yeah mm-hmm. I would yeah just watch the Brie video
okay. Yeah, I watched it a little bit. I think this goes back to the idea of like you would need an explanation of why this happened to this human, because this is the whole problem with like things like this and trolley problems and
let's say you don't know the explanation. Because we don't know the explanation for why cows are the way cows are necessarily. Like we have just as much, let's say we have just as much of an explanation for why this human is the way this human is as for why the cows are the way the cows are. What's our epistemic standard for concluding that the human has a mind and the cow doesn't?
In this hypothetical human. Because we don't have the explanation, we'd have to err on the side of caution that we don't know.
Do you have an explanation? Do you have an explanation for why cows are the way cows are that somehow gives you reason to believe that they don't have minds?
They don't display the ability to generate explanatory knowledge. They don't have creativity.
Wait, how do you know that means they what do you mean? Just real quick, what do you mean when you say explanatory knowledge?
So I guess an easier way to differentiate would be like there's a knowledge that we have in our genes. So it's the knowledge that presumably all animals display. The knowledge for a beaver to build a dam, it's within its genes. The knowledge for bacteria to split, that's within the
genes.
Well,
not all of those behaviors are within the genes, actually. Some of those need to actually to be learned. And if you were to just isolate...
Right.
If you were to just isolate those organisms, they wouldn't actually learn some of those behaviors. It's called the word is called imprinting. Some of those behaviors are imprint dependent, which means they actually do need to learn it from other beings. They can't just get it from their genes alone.
Right, and that is why I say that the argument then just boils down to you saying that, oh, they are human or something like that. Argument is.
What? No. What?
All I'm saying is that not all behavior is knowledge gained by from innate genes alone. There are imprint dependent knowledge. There's imprint dependent knowledge that exists in animals.
Sure, there's pattern recognition. You can say that.
No, just imprinting, like not pattern learning. Imprinting, and there's also other forms of learning as well. There's I forget the word for it. There's types of learning in animals that isn't pattern recognition, nor is it trial and I forget the word. The word is escaping me. I just came back from a holiday work party, and I had a few drinks of alcohol, so you'll have to forgive me for being a little bit slow. But the issue is, I'm just not seeing the symmetry breaker here. I'm still not seeing it from you guys. Like, what is the symmetry?
Because if your argument is that humans present this sort of fluid intelligence, and then you come across humans that do not express that thing that you are saying is the criteria why you consider humans to have moral worth, then what are you saying? What's your point? I think we lost.
If I would say the same thing I said before, I would need an explanation of why that human.
Why do you need an explanation?
Wait! No! You already don't say why. Wait! You're gonna go down this rabbit hole. You don't need to go down the rabbit hole. Why do you need an explanation?
Yeah.
It's that you have a much easier reply to this. You have a much easier reply when he says, "You would need an explanation." Is just like that's just something tangential. Like you. The question is, let's say you don't have an explanation because you don't have an explanation. For the cow by which you would say they don't have minds, to the same degree that you don't have an explanation for the human voice who doesn't have a mind. So when you say, to whatever degree that you don't have an explanation by which the human doesn't have a mind, you have the same degree of a non-explanation by a cow for which a cow has a non-mind. So this still is not a symmetry breaker. You don't need to ask this guy, why do you need an explanation? You're going to go down a whole rabbit hole. All you have to do is equalize the degree of explanation between the human and the animal and just ask for a symmetry breaker. Right. So let's say whatever degree of explanation you have for the animal and the human are the same. You have either you have a good explanation for both or you have a non-explanation for both. What's the symmetry breaker?
Wait, what do you mean you have the same explanation for a human?
It means to whatever degree that you don't know how the human got to be this way. You don't know how the cow got to be that way.
Right, but humans generally display general intelligence.
That's irrelevant.
Right?
That's irrelevant because we're dealing with
this human at some point.
Irrelevant.
Does not.
That's irrelevant, though.
Is it, though? Because you have to explain why
that
is.
There. You know what? Yeah, but it actually is irrelevant. The reason it's irrelevant is because we're dealing with a specific hypothetical where we know that the human is on par with the cow, regardless of what humans generally are or generally are not.
If you
we're isolating a specific, yeah, it doesn't matter what humans generally
if you
are.
Say
it's
that
just,
a human,
tangential.
You just said a human is on par with the cow. That means you have.
In behavior,
with
respect
to
behavior.
What it's like to be
just let me be clear. The human behaves the way a cow behaves. Now, when you say humans are generally a certain way, what is it that you mean? You mean they behave a certain way?
No, they have what I believe to be consciousness, which includes.
And how do we know that the human other humans have? Are generally conscious? Is it through their behavior?
Through their behaviors, through
great.
Dialogue, through
great.
What they build.
That's all behavior. Through what they build is also a form of behavior.
Behavior. Somebody explains to me how how eclipses work. That's not behavior.
That's absolutely. Wait. You don't know. No. You don't know that they're consciously giving you an explanation. You're making an assumption that they're conscious because of their behavior, which is the words coming out of their mouth.
I think I thought of an example.
Let me just have a conversation
right.
with this
example. Wait. I think I thought of an example that can make this easier. Now, if you haven't seen Brie at all, and I explain to you how Brie is, just like that. I say Brie is someone that, you know, a human wakes up, feeds, and all that description. Describe Brie on one paper, and I describe a cow on another paper. ask you which of the two is a cow, which of the two is a cow, which of the two is a cow, or if I ask generally a lot of people which of the two is a cow, or if both are cows, if you have a difficulty in pointing out which one of the two is a cow, that in of itself shows. That's what we are saying. The fact that you see now, I show you who Brie is, what does that change? That's the point.
That, I'm sorry, but that doesn't make it easier. Because we're talking about...
If I describe Brie,
hold on, man.
And I describe a cow.
Hold up, dude. I didn't interrupt you. I'll let you go for a long time. We were talking about humans being able to tell if other humans have explanatory knowledge. And I mentioned things like being able to explain things, such as eclipses. Yeah, maybe I didn't know how an eclipse works before.
Yeah.
That's not behavior.
So it is. So here's why it's behavior. I can explain why. So I can explain to you why it's completely behavior, and I can explain why. So implicit in what you've said, when you say the human can explain this to me, you don't actually know that the human is explaining anything to you. You've assumed it. You've assumed that the human is explaining things to you because they're saying things, and there's vibrations of sound waves coming out of their mouth, and you're interpreting that as something that has explanatory coherence. You don't actually know that they are actually explaining anything. They could be a robot. They could be an autonomous robot for all you know. It's just that you've made that assumption. You've already assumed that they've explained something. The only thing that you really could have knowledge of prior to that is that they're behaving a certain way. They're giving you some sort of, there's some sort of sound waves to you, and you're interpreting that as an explanation. You don't know that they're actually explaining anything. Even that is a behavior. The behavior comes prior. So if everything is based on behavior, then we're back to the same problem when we're dealing with the hypothetical for which a human behaves the way a cow behaves, and you're still stuck in the same problem.
No, I think there's something not quite getting through here. I'm talking about if before I knew, like before as a species, I guess we knew why eclipses happen. The reason why we say other humans have the ability to generate explanatory knowledge is because they're able to generate these explanations we didn't have before.
You've already
something that we don't. Nothing else can do. Like a robot can't.
Any guesses that you make happen in a context. Sometimes you'll hear a human voice and judge it not to be somebody engaged in a discussion or explanatory process with you. Like if you hear, I don't know, the animatronics at the Hall of the President in Disney World or whatever, you know that those aren't actual people, even though they actually kind of look like people and they sound like people and they have voices that are programmed to sound like people. But part of your judgment there, you don't sort of passively sit there and say, oh, there's human sound waves hitting my eardrums, so now I'm going to make a whole series of assumptions contrary to the other evidence in front of me. You judge according to the context in front of you, which includes...
If they were the right sound waves, you would. If they were the right sound waves, you absolutely would.
Yeah, that's why I use the example.
Yeah, but the problem with that,
because
the problem with that is that just reduces to the right types of behavior. You see the obvious problem with this. All that just reduces to is, well, the right types of behavior is something that is the right type of context, and the wrong types of behavior is the wrong type of context. Well, you don't get out of the behavior problem.
Like not everything is behavior. Like the being in the physical space of.
Great. Give me an example. Here's the open challenge. Give me an example by which you are making some sort of inference of another mind that does not stem from behavior from an epistemic standard. Go.
Well, I'm just saying part of the context you judge is like various things are part of a context that don't include behavior. Like I gave the example already of being in the Hall of the Presidents in Disney World. That's a location context. That's not a behavior context.
But do you know why? That doesn't get around behavior either. So the reason that doesn't get around behavior, even that, is because humans behave a given way, and they behave. Because of their behavior, they tend to have certain things that are conscious and certain things that are not conscious in these halls. They tend to play certain things. They behave a certain way to do that. You're still relying on some form of prior behavior.
What about a
can I ask this also? Can I ask this?
If you look at a transcript, and this is something that they've been doing for a long time, since Turing or whatever, about trying to create these chatbots, but they always fail. It's not behavior. It's simply, you can tell based on how they talk that they don't have the ability to.
I ask this.
You mean based on their behavior?
No, based.
Sounds like a behavior to me.
Based on what you read, not.
Can I ask this?
You're reading a transcript. Well,
There's something that's no, I don't think it is at all. There's something that's being generated. I would consider that a form of a behavior. But it, regardless, even if it's not a form.
What do you
of
mean?
A, of
it's a
okay. Can I ask
that
this?
You can't tell. You can't tell based on any behavior. You just read in a transcript. There's no behavior there.
There's absolutely behavior.
So
is generating words on a text. That's a form of behavior.
So
I'm talking about just seeing the transcript itself, like not when it came out or where it came from. Just reading the transcript, you can tell.
Oh, then they could. You would be inferring some sort of prior behavior. Then you wouldn't be observing the behavior itself, but you'd infer some sort of prior behavior. Sure. Because it didn't get there. The transcript didn't just appear. It didn't appear from nothing. You would infer that someone generated the word.
No, because not all the knowledge is based on experience.
Well, and then here's the problem. Here's what I would like to know.
I feel like there's an equivocation going on here. I don't mean to bring that up lightly.
What's the equivocation?
Because there's the manner in which a person behaves in reacting to certain stimuli definition of behavior, but then there's the peculiar reaction of a thing under given circumstances, like the behavior of a car or something like that. And I feel like
I'm not equivocating between those two. I'm using a broad definition of behavior to include all actions that can be taken, all engagements and states of affairs by.
Can I ask you guys one thing?
That's separate.
Why do you think we should not eat other humans?
Dude.
Go on, don't laugh. Go on.
We kind of said this a few times.
I can explain to you why they would say.
General intelligence or whatever, right?
They would say that humans have other minds. Humans have explanatory knowledge. They can explain things to you.
Do you guys agree with that?
I don't get what he just said.
I mean, he didn't go in a lot of detail, but it sounded okay from what I heard.
Okay. Anyway, where I was going with this is, so if a cow did all of those things, displaying explanatory power, knowledge, explaining eclipses, and so on, would you eat a cow?
No, I would not eat alien cow.
Even if it's a single cow, would you eat that cow? Yes or no?
If a cow could explain things, like
a cow could explain eclipses, like
I would consider that morally a person.
Yeah,
and I would not.
Okay, so you wouldn't eat that cow, right?
Our position isn't some like human shaped biological racism.
I know. So what I'm saying is, if a cow displayed all those abilities, explaining eclipses, like the example you've given, you wouldn't eat a cow, right? Right.
Sure.
So why doesn't the reverse apply? When a human that sort of capacity of a cow, you're not willing to extend the same treatment.
Right.
A cow were to behave like a human being.
Can I get back to you on that? I want to go back to what Abby said about reading a transcript saying based on previous.
Just so the question is clear, the question is, what is the predicate by which there's an epistemic standard for determining that a creature has a mind versus not having a mind, such that if there is a human that behaves the way a cow behaves, what is in the epistemic predicate? What is the predicate by which you're determining that one has a mind and one does not have a mind? That's the question on the table that I haven't heard a clear, coherent answer from any of you guys.
I would say, and I think the rat has gotten at this as well. Are they able to engage in open-ended, you know, are they able to, let's even put it more simply than I've said it before, at least. Do they seem able to learn things, communicate?
To the same degree. Yeah, so they seem to do it to the same degree that a cow can do it because they're behaving the same way. So they seem to do it the same way because, again, this is just, there's an equivalence on behavior. One is a human, one is not a human. The human's behaving like a cow behaves.
So let me flip this around a little bit. Because I came across an article where somebody was arguing, and I don't think this is your position, but maybe it'll clarify if you explain why not. Somebody was arguing for the morality, for the moral value of video game characters. And so, or another example is like, you know, Roombas or something. So why, you know, which Roombas, by the way, they can like build up a, they can build up a map of a house, which is stored and reused for later productive purposes. So they're actually, that's the high end model anyway. You got to spend more for that. It was pretty impressive.
All right.
So they can do some, you know, useful problem solving. So I'm wondering, because we've been talking about the cow thing
at some point.
While.
At some point, I mean, I want to get back to what I was talking about before, but at some point, I don't have this view that a video game character in principle can't be conscious. I don't know where I would draw that line, but at some point, yeah, at some point, I would place moral consideration on a video game character if they behave the same way that a human would behave. I would say, okay, well, maybe this thing really is conscious at some point.
So one thing is that you can, like, for narrow purposes, like you can, I'm sure you probably played The Sims.
Sure.
Okay. So you can like torture a sim, like lock it in a room with no exits, and it starts peeing on itself and crying out in distress and you know, banging on the walls or whatever. It's kind of disturbing. It's squealing, it's yelling, it's making human sounding distress calls in a human shape. Mm-hmm. Superficially, yeah, it's 2D or I guess it's 3D now. It's been a while since I played it.
But
I don't think you would reason from that to, I'm maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think you would say, well, then that's that.
Do you know why?
Well, you know why? Hold on. Wait.
Do you know why?
Just let me go with it. Hold on. Listen. Just let me go with this guy. So I would not, but certainly you would at some point. If there was a sim that could have the conversations I'm having with you right now.
Well, that would be an AGI.
If there was a sim. What is AGI?
Just an artificial general intelligence.
If there was a sim that can have this conversation with you and could demonstrate, could also like appear to have all these feelings and emotions and thoughts, if you came across that sim, would you conclude that that sim may have another, may actually have a mind? May actually become.
Yeah. I mean, the two explanations would be either that sim has a mind or somebody's screwing with me.
So at some point, based on either behavior or based on the coherence, some views can take the coherence of behavior based on like a similar brain structure or whatnot, whatever it is, at some point you would think the sim character is conscious. At some point you would not. But
just to be clear, I was talking about like the current level sims, which, you know, aren't even like they're sub chatbot. Right. You know, they're not very.
I think the degree.
You could have an AGI in the Sims, sure, theoretically. It'd be a little weird, but yeah.
Right. So what I'm saying is that on what it seems like to me is that the reasons we have for believing the sims are conscious are lower on the threshold than believing a cow is conscious. I actually think there's more reasons to believe a cow is conscious than the sense conscious. So whatever threshold you are, I would just apply it consistently. But again, this doesn't get to the heart of the question that I was asked before.
Could you wait, but before we could you explain
why
are you setting the thresholds differently exactly?
Yeah, sure, sure. So so a couple of things. So there's more spontaneity with the cow. So the cow can do things that the sim cannot. The cow can act spontaneously. Well, first of all, the coding is more complex for sure. Not to say that it entails sentience, but the cow is capable of far more behaviors than the sim is capable of. The sim has a very limited amount of behaviors that are coded. The cow is capable of far more behaviors. The other thing, the other symmetry breaker is that if we're reasoning from our minds, that the consciousness comes from the mind and we are conscious, then there's also, and that comes from the brain, then there's also a coherence between that and the neuroanatomic similarity between humans and cows, in the sense that we're both gyrencephalic mammals. We both have gyri sulci, we both have a cerebral cortex, and both of the behaviors that we exhibit, that we attribute to conscious experience, cohere with the neural activity that occurs in a cow when they experience these things. So, and there's no evidence that that happens in sims.
Yeah, so more functions, more complicated coding, all that.
And coherence. Wait, that's not all. And coherence between structure and function.
Right, right.
Coherence between behavior and between the way we behave and what's going on in our brain with the way the cow behaves and what's going on in their brain.
Now, when you say coherence, are you talking about like brain scan studies where they show a part of the brain lighting up and you're saying that okay.
Or
I don't think that really tells us much of anything.
Well, or not just that, or studies in which the part of the brain is removed and the function is lost, or a part of the brain is stroked and the function is lost. It's not just the brain scan. I'm not just talking about fMRIs. There's a clear delineation of what happens when you destroy part of a brain in a human, and you can do the same thing in a cow. And the same things happen predictably, repeatedly. So for example, if you were to lesion in most people, the left temporal lobe, the human would lose the ability to have language. And if you were to do the same thing in the cow, the way they communicate with each other, so they're mooing or whatever language modality they use, they would lose that ability as well. And there's many other examples of this, these similarities. It's not just brain scans. It's things that are very definitive. And there's nothing like that.
Justin, do you know the argument why, like, adding more and more function and more complexity to, like, the programming doesn't lead to an AGI? Like, do you know why Elliot makes that argument?
Just to be clear, that's not my position. My position isn't that more complexity means more likely to be sentient, necessarily. My position is just that we are reasoning from a starting point. Our starting point is that we are conscious. And if we are conscious, then we need there's certain creatures, there's a whole litany of creatures that have a certain degree of similarity to us, both in structure, behavior, both in structure and function, both in terms of the behavior of their brain. We're all agreeing for the argument here that our consciousness comes from our minds and our minds come from our brain. And there's a certain degree of similarity between our brains and other creatures. There's also a certain degree of similarity. Go ahead.
I think you're understanding a pretty narrow point about why a cow having, you know, the sort of consciousness that implies moral worth is more plausible to you than a sim. That was like a sub point that you were going in detail on. Right. Okay. I just trying to put it, because, you know, the discussion can get a little
sure,
a little fragmented. So it's good.
There's more of a reason for the cow to believe that the cow has a mind than the sim has a mind. Now, the question on the table before we got into this tangent is, if we were met with a human who has the capability of behavior to the degree that the cow has the capability of behavior. Why would we ever conclude that the human has a mind but the cow does not have a mind?
So I think part of the thing is that your perspective is very, and when we were talking earlier about the Hall of the Presidents and stuff, it seemed like you wanted to put everything in terms of behavior.
It's a question. Listen, the question on the table is, in this hypothetical, look, here's the question that I just want to hear an answer. I don't want to hear like a what I'm doing, what I'm this. Question.
Well, no, because I think it's contextualizing. Like, my reply is that part of the context in which I judge a human when I'm observing their behavior is the general characteristics of human capability.
Yeah, but this is irrelevant
which is not a behavioral issue. I'm just explaining the perspective gap here. I'm not even trying to argue with you right now. I'm just sort of laying out, like, you know, what maybe the disagreement is.
Okay, great. So then the question is, let's say we have a human. Mm-hmm. The question is, let's say we have a human who has behavioral capabilities matching a
cow. Sure.
By what standard would we conclude that the human has a mind and the cow does not have a mind?
So I guess behavioral capabilities matching a cow, it's tough for me to reply because I reject the premise so much that I think I interpret the behaviors differently than you would. Like, you know, looking
that's
at
just dodging
example.
The hypothetical. Yeah. So you're dodging the hypothetical. So let's say they really were the same.
I mean, here's the thing though. Like we know that humans do something which humans have some capacity which animals do not. I think you would grant that.
Not for this human, I wouldn't.
In general, like you or me or
yeah,
the other
but hold on, wait, my Uber's dropping me off. Hold on one second.
Okay, sure.
Sorry, I had to. Okay, I got my headphones in. Yeah, so I don't understand why the general characteristics of humans are actually relevant here.
So, like,
think about it this way.
Both humans and computers can play chess in some sense.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But the way they do it is very different. A human doesn't brute force.
Last time we talked about this, you were talking about the difference between it being physically
possible
and logically
possible. Look. Here's the question. So the question is, when you have a human and you have a cow and the behavior, you can't differentiate their behaviors. What is the reason for which you conclude one has a mind and one does not have a mind?
I mean, I guess
if we assume, well,
like in theory, you could have a human who is not intelligent. I guess part of it is, you know, I have difficulty imagining the plausibly like animal level, but like there are humans that they're just you know, brain dead or whatever. So like species is not determinative.
So the question is, would you just conclude that the human that behaves like a cow is brain dead?
Would
a human that can walk around that would yell out in pain if they're inflicted pain on it, that would seem to care about their offspring, seem to care, do all the things, would cry if their offspring is taken away from them, they would exhibit all these behaviors, but you would just conclude that human is brain dead if they couldn't exhibit other behaviors.
I lost you, Avi.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're back. You're back.
If they can exhibit all the behaviors of that of a cow, they can experience. Hold on. Hold on. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, yeah.
Okay. If they can exhibit all of the behaviors. Yeah, well. If they can experience all the behaviors of that of a cow, if they can exhibit all the behaviors, if they can exhibit, if you take away their offspring and then they would start crying out. If you would inflict pain on them, they would start screaming in pain, just the way a cow does. If you played music, they would come and listen to the music, just like cows do, by the way, when you play music. They enjoy listening to, they exhibit behaviors that seem compatible with them enjoying listening to music. So if they were to do, and my list just goes on. If they were to do all of that, but they couldn't do more than that, than the cow could do, would you conclude that that human is brain dead? Yes or no?
No.
Okay, so what is the reason by which you would conclude one has a mind and one does not have a mind?
Well,
I would say that humans in general have minds, so worrying on the precautionary principle here.
What's the differentiator by which you apply the precautionary principle to one and not the other? If they both exhibit the same behavior, why would you apply the precautionary principle to one and not the other?
I don't know that I'd frame it as precautionary principle per se, but
well, that's what Rat said, so I'm just replying.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I mean,
I just don't understand why this is so hard to answer.
Happened.
All right. Well, I'm going to eat my tofu. I'll tell you what. Okay. You guys can think about an answer and. Maybe in an hour or 2 hours or so, if you have one, you can ping me or something if I haven't fallen asleep by then. But it's good talking to you guys, and I hope you enjoy the server. I'm going to keep working on Cressor Wilkes debate. Take care, buddy.
Yep.